when I came out of the service, I came back from overseas and
Could we
forth.
Just hold that a minute, yeah. Because I want to deal with those service years. Okay. They're very interesting. Are there any honoraries as an undergraduate that we should list here?
Well, I got through cum laude, but that that doesn't mean much.
And there were no fraternity associations in those years. I would assume that. And then you did enlist in the Air Force as an aviation cadet and later as a captain. You were a combat navigator and a squadron leader.
I was a group leader.
I see. Mm-hmm. Where did you serve in Europe?
From England. I was based in England.
I see. And how do you feel about your war experience in retrospect?
Well, I'd say if you got through a war without getting hurt, it was probably a good personal experience. It's a terrible thing to go through for most people. They ought to have wars, they ought to have fake wars with paper bullets, and it would satisfy everybody. Everybody would get out of it, maybe, but wars are terrible things. But again, you learn. I was very young when I went in, and I was.
How old were you?
I went in 42. I enlisted, so I was 21. Mm-hmm. And then, when the next year I got to be a captain, and of course I had the responsibility for the navigators. My squadron, and I was the lead navigator for the group. So we had some interesting experiences there. And as I said, I managed to get through unhurt. So
that was fortunate.
Yeah.
Did this experience carry over in any sense into civilian life? You feel it influenced you in any way?
Well, I think every experience you have influences you. Yeah.
Well, it influences your attitude on war events.
Well, I think almost anybody goes through that. You know, say those are terrible things, terrible experience to go through. You know, from that standpoint, and. But I learned a lot in there about handling people and working with them.
And taking responsibility,
taking
certainly.
Taking responsibility, yeah.
Did you experience any anti-Semitism in the service?
I didn't. I have to tell you, I'm not a good person to ask about that because I grew up with non-Jews as well as Jews, and I never felt uncomfortable with them, and I never socialized. I was never socialized much, so if there was anti-Semitism, I didn't feel it. And there probably was, but as I said, I just didn't feel it personally.
Well, that was
maybe I didn't pay attention to some things that other people were sensitive to. I don't know.
You received the Air Medal with three clusters and the Distinguished Flying Cross.
Yeah.
Were these awards based on a specific incident or were they cumulative?
Based generally on just survival.
I see.
You survived enough missions, you got a medal. And if you did 25 missions and survived, you got the Distinguished Flying Cross. So I don't think I distinguish myself except be lucky enough to survive.
I see. Following the war, then, you returned to Pittsburgh, and I believe your biography indicated you worked as a reporter for the Pittsburgh
Yeah, when I came back, Harry Epstein, who had befriended me when I was going to college, wanted me to come back to the store, but I said I thought I'd like to do something else, and I'd like to be a reporter, so I worked for the Pittsburgh Sun-Telegraph, which was a Hearst newspaper, and I was very fortunate then because I was one of the early dischargees, if you want to call them, for the war, And they were short-handed, so I was pressed into service on doing a lot of things that usually veteran newspaper men would do because they were so short-handed. So
you got excellent experience.
So I had, in 1 year, the kind of experience Norm would take you maybe 4 or 5 years. So
was returning to civilian life an adjustment for you?
No, I was, no. I don't have any problem adjusting to anything.
Well, you're very fortunate,
well,
Mr. Baskin.
I don't think it's me. I think when you've moved around as much as I have from childhood, and
it's a factor,
and you get into so many different environments and so many different people, you just you either learn to adjust or you just don't make it. So
learn to cope.
So my environment, my experience, just taught me to. Cope with whatever I found. So I move so often that moving doesn't mean a thing to me. Well, anyway, I worked on a paper for about a year.
What was the nature of your assignment with the paper then?
Well, I was a general reporter, and then I did some rewrite work, so which was pretty important for a youngster, and it was fun. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of fun and learned a lot.
And where did you get the experience for doing that?
What's
writing.
That?
When did you get the experience?
Before that?
For writing.
I used to write fairly well. I mean, comparatively speaking, if you compared me to two, most of my classmates in either grade school or high school or college, I was better than the average. That doesn't mean I was good, but I was better than the average.
You're very modest.
And I wrote fairly well.
Then came Harvard Law School. What year was that?
I entered law school, I think, in 46.
Well, again, I ask, what directed you to law?
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds funny. I didn't intend to practice law. They had, what was that program? You know, that the
government...
Yeah, you know, the GI Bill of Rights said if you went to school, they would pay your tuition and books and pay you $100 a month besides. I was married at the time, so I decided that it'd be silly to pass up a chance to get more education. Particularly if I could get it with just working, you know, in addition to having all those payments made. So my wife and I decided to go to, I got into Harvard, fortunately, and I thought if I got 2 or 3 years of training at a good law school like that, you know, I'd just be better educated and maybe learn to think a little better. And then whatever I decided to do, it would be helpful. And so I just went to get educated.
I see.
But I had no intention to practice law.
How did you find the Harvard experience?
I enjoyed it. I worked. My wife worked. She got a job, got an apartment. She got a job even right across the street, as a matter of fact. And I couldn't participate much in activities there or even join a study group because I was working. I used to type briefs for the students in their moot court arguments. And which was good because I corrected as I went along, so I learned quite a bit about that, about the law and so forth. Then I also tutored Harvard and Radcliffe freshman flunks, people who had flunked out of English because they couldn't write. So I would get a couple dollars an hour teaching them just enough so they could pass, you know, write something that would pass. So that was interesting.
You found it a stimulating experience.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Were there any outstanding professors?
Yes, they had some. It's a great school. It's a privilege to go there. And at that time, they had really legal giants teaching.
Who were some of them?
Well, there'd be Scott on trust, you know, and Morgan on evidence, and then they had Pound. Pound was there, and then they had... who was on contracts, who was just the Williston, and then they had this, I forget who the maybe the fellow wasn't negative. They just had just great professors, and they had very bright students, and they were very serious students because most of us were married. You know, a lot of us had been in the service, so we were older, and a great many of us were already married. So we were serious students. I mean, we weren't playing around, you know. And it was a very, very good intellectual experience.
Did you form any lasting friendships in those years that have carried over?
Well, there's still a few people that correspond with occasionally, but I didn't form any lasting friendships.
When you were very busy?
Well, when you keep moving around, you learn not to make them. It doesn't lend itself to lasting friendships.
Now, before we go into your outstanding professional career following the academic years, we'd like to digress long enough to deal with something of your personal life. Could you tell us something of your marriage and family? When were you married?
Well, I was married in 43. To Mary Margaret Sharp.
Where were you married?
We were married in Washington, PA. I had met her at May Stearns when I was working at May Stearns in undergraduate days. And then when I went to the service as an aviation cadet, and then when I received my commission, after that we were married, which was in August of 43.
What was her educational background, or what work did she do?
She went through high school, and she was very bright, but they were too poor. Her family was too poor to send her to college. So she went to work at May Stearns, and she was one of their best employees there. And she did cash register work. In other words, credit work and cash register work and so forth. I think when we started there, we made $15 a week.
That sounds familiar.
They got a raise to $16.
That was pretty standard. Yeah. In fact, you were lucky to have it.
Right.
And you have two daughters.
Yeah, we adopted two daughters.
I see.
Two children, Janice and Susan.
And what are their birth dates?
Well, Janice is March 31st, 1951. It's amazing how you remember this. And Susan is June 27th, 1952.
I see. Well, we'll return to your children a little later. We want to turn to your early adult years following Harvard. Where did you live in those years? Here in Pittsburgh?
Well, we came back to Pittsburgh, and first we had a little third floor apartment on Nicholson Street for maybe a year, and then we got an apartment on Mead Street, which we furnished, second floor apartment in a duplex, and then eventually, I forget what year, we bought a duplex on Ridgeville Street as well.
Oh, yes.
And then in 1960, I think we bought a lot on Hartwood Drive, and we built a house there. We stayed there about close to 20 years.
Well, in those early years, how do you recall the Pittsburgh community, culturally, politically, as compared with today?
Well,
were you too involved with...
No, I got involved in some... politically, I became involved.
In those early years?
In those early years, because when I was in the newspaper, I had gotten in contact with Dave Lawrence, who was then the mayor, and some of the people around him. And we kept in touch so that when I came back from law school, they then asked me to run some kind of committee for his re-election campaign in 51.
Was the community predominantly Democratic then?
Yeah.
I see. And culturally, was it?
Culturally, I didn't begin to compare to what it is now.
I see. Economically in those years?
Right, I think economically pretty healthy.
Pretty healthy. The mills were...
Yeah, but it's a different kind of population.
In what way?
Well, it was mostly really an ethnic workers population. And totally different than today. I mean, the makeup of the workforce then and now are just dramatically different. You now have a more service-oriented group.
Of necessity.
I think you're getting a more educated, affluent group, comparatively speaking. And it's going to keep changing, so there's a big difference. Jewish population is much larger than
In your home with your family, was religion a factor with your children?
Yes. I was raised Orthodox as a kid. In fact, we were so Orthodox in the East Side that I went to religious school after school hours. And when my father died, before I went to school in the mornings, I would stop at a little basement shul and say kaddish for him. So we were...
But with your children, was in your home, as...
No, my children?
Yes.
No, we
was religion a factor there?
We were just reformed.
I see.
I wouldn't say... Uh-huh. We were very religious.
Did you have a congregation affiliation in those early years?
Temple Sinai.
I see.
When we moved to Pittsburgh, we affiliated.
I see.
In 49, when I graduated.
In those early years, family years, was there any particular family activity in terms of family projects or hobbies, vacations?
Well, we had no family.
Well, you said you had two daughters.
Oh, you mean that family?
You
that family. I thought you were...
No. I'm talking about...
Oh, yeah,
at
sure.
Stage,
oh,
now.
Sure, we would take trips together. Of course, I was fairly busy then. I was practicing law, I was in political things, I was in charity things. So I probably didn't spend as much time with the children as some fathers do. But we went on trips together, and of course, my wife spent a great deal of time there.
Well, now to turn to your professional career. According to your biography that I received, after graduating from Harvard in 1949, you joined the Pittsburgh law firm of Sachs and Kaplan.
Yes.
And you remained there until...
About 5 years, I think, until 1954.
And did you form your own law firm?
Yeah, my brother and I, my brother Seymour and I joined for the firm Baskin & Baskin.
I see. Where had he gone to school?
He went to bed in Boston.
I see.
And we had an office in the Frick Building. That's where Sachs and Kaplan had its office. And we shared one office. He had a desk in one corner, and I had a desk in the other. And we had a little cubicle outside for our secretary.
And that was Baskin and Baskin.
That was Baskin and Baskin.
It eventually became a long string of names.
Yeah. We gradually got larger, and people joined with other people.
Did that become then Baskin, Borman, Sachs, Gondelman, and Craig?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I did my homework.
I think that Wilner was in there, too.
I see. I left one out.
There was a sixth name there.
I see.
Baskin, Borman. Wilner, Sachs, Gondelman, and Craig. When it got to the largest, yeah.
When was Baskin and Sears established then?
I think that was about 9 years ago. What's this year? Almost 10 years ago, probably. So probably around 1976.
I was sort of interested in the fact, Mr. Baskin, that you, an active Democrat, joined with John Sears, who was Reagan's 1976 campaign manager.
Yeah. It's well. Actually, although we were in different parties, on basic political matters, we had the same approach, basically.
Well, you kept your professional and political life separate.
Yeah, and it was a good, really a good combination, I thought, and he did too.
Your biography indicates that you're presently chairman of the law firm of Baskin and Steingut, is
that's
that
right,
correct?
Yeah.
And when was this firm founded?
Well, what happened last year, 84, Sears and I, and we had to separate because of the South African situation. And we felt we couldn't keep on representing South Africa for a number of reasons. And he felt, and I think he would, that he couldn't keep going without representing them. We had just different interests involved in that situation. And so we had to make a quick decision on it. And from his point of view, he had to make the choice he did. We had to make ours. We're still very friendly today, personally. Mm-hmm. But it was unfortunate that we had a breakup like that.
I see. We're interested in more details about your present setup. How many offices do you have now? I know it's quite extensive.
Well, we have a number, but we've cut a lot of them out. So we're down right now to D.C. and New York City and Boca Raton, Florida, and Pittsburgh and Harrisburg.
I see.
But we had a number of other smaller offices in Florida and Maryland. But we decided to cut back on those.
How many attorneys do you employ?
Here in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh and Tampa.
Right now, we're about 40 here and probably about 65 all together right now. We were at one time about 105, 110, until we started cutting back. Some of our cutbacks were voluntary and some were involuntary in the sense that some people left.
Are you still associated with your brother?
Oh, he's been a client of our office for years.
Oh, I see.
He started his own development business.
Oh, you did mention that.
Oh, about 12 years ago, maybe longer now.
What is the nature of your practice? Is it specialized or
it's a general practice.
I see.
We built it up based on real estate, and we enlarged from that.
For the record, Mr. Baskin, where are you admitted to practice besides Pennsylvania?
Washington, D.C. and New York.
I see. And what various courts have you practiced in?
Well, all of them. That is, our local courts, through to our Supreme Court, all of our local and appellate courts, all of the districts, and district court here, circuit court here, the U.S. Supreme Court. And I've argued in the Second Circuit as well, and done some work in the tax court in past years. It's been fairly general.
Are you involved in litigating yourself, or are you chiefly involved in administration at this point?
Well, I do very little litigation now. I did when I started. I occasionally do some specialized things, and occasionally do some appellate arguments now.
How are you linked with your various offices? Is that by computer?
Or? Well, we have, today the communication lines with word processing and computers and telecopiers and fast mail, telephone, there's no problem, communication.
Maybe if I stop this whole new area now. Do you want to stop it?
Oh, you have an hour.
Have some time.
Yeah, stop.